Pizza Noir by Denver Day, Book 1, Chapter 13. About the same time down in Oakland, Alameda County Coroner's Office staff arrived to find the rest of the Chino girls disappeared from their deep freeze. Local search and rescue responders had been dragging and diving the Oakland Inner Harbor since the wolverized firepipe beaver jumped in there on Thursday. They kept it up well into the a.m. on Thursday morning, but without any luck at all. They didn't find a stitch. Unlike the incident up here at Pierce County, Alameda County Coroner didn't have surveillance footage because their closed-circuit camera system had been damaged during the autopsy incident Wednesday, and it was still down when the rest of the Chino girls disappeared from the morgue. Communiques circulated among police agencies, particularly those involved in the 11 October homicide investigations, urged ratcheted up security at the respective coroner's facilities. Lock up your dad, to wit. For once, he was glad to see the posties, Chief Detective Sam Wilson of the Oakland PD thought to himself, as he read through the brave attempts at logical reports which had been submitted by those present during Firefly's autopsy. Usually, when the national police involved themselves, there was a carrot and a stick, or there could be, the carrot being money and toys for local agencies, and the stick word potentially subsequent expectations or perceptions, at least, of the resulting subordination of local jurisdiction. Turf. Dogs. That can be a tough pill for a local force to swallow, but this was probably an exception to any general disdain for posties, Wilson thought. In a case that seemed unsolvable by anything other than legend, mythology, folklore, and otherwise superstition or the preternatural or supernatural. I mean, this involves monsters, a freaking reanimated wolf lady corpse, and God knows what might be coming next, he thought. I mean, we're peace officers, not interstellar mutant bounty hunters. He continued his mental discourse, so it was nice to have some third-party agency witness present to help document the investigation, someone to bring his agency above any suspicion of having made the whole thing up. The thoughts of his colleagues at the Alameda County Sheriff's Office and down at the coroner's office were in general disarray, too. The press had not gotten wind of the seemingly supernatural aspects of the case. As far as Wilson or anybody else was concerned, they didn't need to, for now. As of nearly 6 in the morning up on, nobody had seen yesterday's morgue escapee, and nobody had seen last night's morgue disappearees, either. There were no signs of forced entry, only the front door left quaintly unlocked for the first shift when they arrived, apparently having been the egress used for the Chino Beavers' unexpected exit back into the good night. The county employee killed by Firefly was also gone from the morgue, for better or for worse. So, like us at the Washington State Police in Tacoma, the Oakland and Alameda County investigators were also left with very little else but tall tales as evidence. When Lopez's red eye arrived at San Diego International, he switched on his mobile phone to get a message from Veronica Roller. "Hey, Lopez, Veronica Roller here. Call me when you get this." Promptly, Lopez did so. "Yes, ma'am," he asked when she picked up. "I understand there was some more or less unexplainable something that happened in Oakland yesterday," Veronica said. "I just wanted to tell you that word got out here about what happened with Firepipe Beaver out in Oakland yesterday afternoon, so I should tell you that back home at the Navajo Nation there are legends and historical allegories about things like this. As you well know, Detective, sometimes we all see some weird shit, stuff that a person can't explain with the parameters provided by everyday language or based on everyday experience. And yet these things occur here and there, as you well know," she said. "So, what happened in Oakland is not going to be something you guys are going to be able to explain by math, science, English, cold reasoning, or dead reckoning. It has to do with never-ending relationships among the earth and we who walk upon it, and the cycles of birth and life and death and the moon and the stars. Veronica, there's the general supposition that yesterday's incidents up in Oakland are somehow connected to the 11 October killings because of the interrelationships, vague as they are, between the bank track circuit and the bookmakers for Tacoma's Davy Jones Liquors. And even more nebulous, the connections between the burglary of the Pierce County morgue and the mess down in Oakland's. And if this is all somehow looped back into the bar fight you guys were involved with in the week before all this started, then it would seem to be connected in name or style only, so to speak. Because not only is that connection strictly circumstantial, it really is not even consequentially linear. Lopez begged the question, nearing frustration. But are you telling me that you've actually seen instances of this sort of human canine thing? Or are you just saying these cases can't be resolved? Frankly, the latter of which is what I'm beginning to lean toward, because among so many homicides and now flat-out burglaries of morgue facilities, there still remains only circumstantial evidence and zero suspects, much less any arrests. Even if anyone had a clue, how in the hell is anybody supposed to prosecute real, live, literal monsters or dead ones? Or the dead? Incidental. Exactly, Joe. And I'm just saying that there are ancient folkways and realities that may be unexplainable in any court or grand jury. Yet they exist, they remain, they're out there, and sometimes the right fates cross and the circumstances are just right for them to manifest. In a way that makes them as real as they are old, Veronica answered. So you're right. There's a certain threshold beyond which police jurisdiction is irrelevant. And that's the case with all this. This will run its due course and then it will just be done. Joe hung up the phone, feeling somewhat nonplussed. When I shined into the office, slightly revitalized by the effects of Joe the Coffee Man's coffee, it was still dark, but my message board was glowing like a Yule log. First, a message from McKinney, who said he had several messages from Mr. Hayes of the Seattle Bureau. The Seattle Bureau had had several urgent requests from the D.C. Bureau regarding a newfound interest in our case by other posties. Because of the potential international nature of the case, now stemming from the potential involvement of European bookmakers, therefore bearing potential for crime on an international scale, then additional alphabet soup was now upon us. And good luck, I thought, and probably channeled a little of Detective Wilson's sentiment up from Oakland. Furthermore, and you never know, inasmuch as they could explain away werewolves, the posties would be of a pivotal relevance. I debriefed some alphabet man at the D.C. Bureau by phone regarding the bookies and their accents and the dead guy in the Leskov suit and the suspicious phone call to Dixie after I'd mentioned the unclaimed body to the Davy Jones Liquor Squad captain and regarding the subsequent disappearance from our morgue of said dead guy and the two others, the three of whose original demise was circumstantially connected to the other 11 October homicides and regarding the possible original link to a two-week-old San Diego bar fight involving the Phoenix Bloody Rollers Bank Track Squad. I hadn't yet heard about Oakland's Pilford Morgue, but I told the guy about the Chino Beaver's watery demise and the freaky autopsy in Oakland that started their cadaverous adventures off. But on that topic, I couldn't tell you any more, I said. I don't think they could tell you much more than that either. You look like hell, Rick. Damn, go back home and go to bed, McKinney declared when he got to the office. Well, I tried to turn in early last night, but the fates had something else in mind for me, I replied. Anyway, I took his suggestion to heart. Thanks, Mac. I'll be back this afternoon. And out the door I went, day sleeper for the day. When I got back to the office about 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon, there were yet more messages, as well as an attractive alphabet postie waiting for me. She had a qualitative lecture prepared for yours truly about who did and who did not, by her definition, qualify as a member of the Russian Mafia. Basically, your guys running books for the Derby team are young, second-generation, former Eastern Bloc expats, in the sense that they're Russian and that their racket is organized and paper-related well, then what they're doing is categorizable as related to an organized, white-collar, ethnic Russian crime syndicate, but it's decentralized. They're not tipping out up through any command chain because they don't have one, and as much as they don't answer to any person or group overseas. So, they're basically just American dudes running books. More specifically, they're citizens of the great state of Washington, and as far as I know, they aren't any rules up here to prohibit reasonable gambling. And they're all yours, detective, she said. But I'll say that Body theft, as per At Your Morgue yesterday and in Alameda County's morgue last night, is something that we can't pin to any organized crime trend or any trend otherwise. As you would presume, that type of crime connotes typically not a suspect group trend, rather, incidents like those are typically an individual suspect demographical psych profile. Like morticians, for example, she laughed. Lovely lady alphabet soup with a sense of humor. However, she pressed, returning to her serious face, regarding this business down in Oakland, with what they dragged out of the bay, we don't suggest silver bullets, but high caliber, high velocity ammunition is recommended. She laughed again. Seriously, be careful, you guys out here might, as precautionary measures, ramp up your presence and your firepower at places like naked lady bars, derby events, and your morgues. I suggest you send out a group of communique to the agencies involved in all this, saying just as such. Arm for bear, all just in case, a precaution that is our recommendation. Even though our morgue and the Alameda County morgue were already emptied out, the idea of putting units armed for bear guarding the doors around the clock seemed to be sage advice, which I promptly forwarded to the relevant agencies. It might have been futile, but gave a little sense of comfort. Through the rest of the afternoon, as the rain outside kept up, I remained at the office having phone conversations with colleagues up and down the coast as we updated each other and compared notes. Through the grapevine, Detective Lopez also received news of the Pierce County and the Alameda County morgue burglaries. He too spent much of his day on the phone. He was met with several communiques, one of which, through the postie from me, strongly suggested that everyone put bigger guns at important doors. Lopez had slept a little on the plane and had come into his office that morning right after he dropped off his bags at his apartment that morning. Showered and shaved, he put in a call to Maricopa County and Phoenix PD, since he was the one primarily communicating with the Arizona contacts in these cases. With the newest interagency advisories, he called back to the Veronica and Becerril household before he left for the afternoon, but nobody picked up. He left a message and called it a day.